There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here once again to share with you from the scripture and from the Bible. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we say thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for letting us know you through scripture, through our spirit, and also through our life. And once again, we come before you and put ourselves into your hand. Let us dedicate this moment, this hour, into an act of worship. As we gather together, we call on your name, we are drawn by your name, and we come before you, and we commit ourselves to you. Help us, O Lord, because we are people who need your help. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I realize that some of you are planning to get a job interview, right? And for most of you in the future, eventually you would reach that time when you have to look for a job. And one of the things that scares people the most is actually not the work itself, but whether you will be picked out of maybe hundreds of candidates to be the one who is going to get that job. And that's why it's very crucial for you to learn the skill of facing a job interview. Now, one of the questions that come up quite often during such an interview is, how are you going to face adversity, a problem, a bad situation? Do you have an answer, a ready answer for that? Most of the time you say, okay, I deal with problems before, and so I would know my way. But can you articulate? Can you bring it out in steps and into such and build a model so that you can face all kinds of situations and realize that you have a tool to deal with it and to actually solve problems? Well, someone asked me this question a few weeks ago and tried to kind of ask me to come up with an answer. Well, most of the time when we want to come up with an answer, we AI'd it. But instead, I actually looked into the scripture and see what the scripture offers. And as some of you might know, that in the Chinese service, I share my testimony, okay, my experience of committing myself to Christ. And the reason why I believe and accepted Christ is actually because I read the book of Romans. Now, I realize that many of you are reading the book of Romans right now. And some of you are on chapter, one? That's okay. Because Romans is actually a very complex and dense document, scripture. Inside it, there is the wisdom of the entire saving work of God. And that's why it's so worthy for us to read through the book of Romans. Not only would it help you to understand the nature of God, the nature of our issues, how we're going to deal with all creation, but it actually gives us a very good worldview. How do we see everything around us? How do we relate? How do we live in this world during this life and also the next? And one of the issues that we have to face is that life itself is an adversity. Life itself is an adverse situation. Many of you are already facing it. And understanding that living your life is not easy. You're not a baby anymore. But even a baby realizes that it cannot help itself. It cannot live their own life in this world. The very moment you come into this world, you already need help. Because without proper nourishment, without proper help, upbringing, you will not be here today. And when we look at the world, we also understand that the world is full of problems, right? So understanding how to problem solve is a very, very important step in our growing up and in our maturity. Now, I come up with this from the book of Romans. And it goes something like this. The first step you have to do is you have to own up to your situation. Yes, there is a problem. But many times when we are facing a problem, the first thing that we do is to try to lay blame. Oh, it's not my fault. It is because of somebody else's fault. It's because of the society's fault. It's because of the rich people's fault or whatever, my parents' fault. And we always try to lay blame over other people's feet. But that is not helpful. It might even be true. It might be somebody's fault. It might be you're just not lucky. Or maybe it's because you face a problem because of your own bad decisions. But no matter what, the moment you realize that you have a problem, it's not so much to lay blame or try to avoid it, but rather face it head on. We have a situation here, and I am right in the middle of it. It doesn't matter what causes it, because what is important right now, our priority is to face and try to solve this problem. And the next step, I would say, is to understand the scope of your problem. Understand what it is. Because if you don't ask the right question, you will never get the right answer, right? So we must understand and study the problem itself. Just exactly what am I facing here? And the next step would be, of course, since you understand the nature of your problem, you would have to know or learn how to deal with it. Maybe you count your resources. Maybe you get other people to help. Maybe you just give up, whatever. But you have to come up with something based on what is available to you. And once you get a good inventory of that, you can go ahead, work out a plan, and then execute it. And hopefully, if you do resolve the problem, then afterwards, you can come back and study and learn a lesson from the whole scenario. What exactly are our scenario? What exactly are our problems? Well, one of the greatest problems we have right now is that we're living in a very messy world. I think everybody would agree with that. We are facing problems left, right, and center. We understand that the world we live in is just so unstable, so fragile, that we cannot count on having a tomorrow that is the same as today. A while back, when you were at that Passport to Purity camp, many of you were being, many of you tried to answer this question. What would my life be like in 10 years? And I see that many of you try to answer that question based on how you have lived your life in the past, what your parents' life are like, how other people are living right now. And you plan accordingly, right? You said in 10 years' time, I'll try to get a job, a good paying job. And then, you know, many of you would say, I would move out of my parents' house. And get my own place with a cat and some roommates. Nice. That is a nice dream. That is a nice life to look forward to. However, the problem is, what exactly would the world be like in 10 years' time? Would you be able to get a job? Would you be able to get a good paying job? Well, you cannot count on that. And so you suddenly realize that, hey, I cannot truly make plans 10 years down the road because the world is changing so quickly. And that's why many of us would try to just deal with the situation as it comes along. I call that a reactionary attitude. But don't take it as a criticism, because we are so used to deal with problems in a very reactionary manner. The church history, if you look at the history of the church, very often we react. When there are enemies of the church attacking the church, then the church would react and respond and try to deal with a problem. But the church is not known to be far-sighted. And very often, we deal with the problem as it comes along. When somebody challenged the authority of the scripture, then all the bishops of the early church come together and say, why do we believe in the Bible? Where did that authority came from? Which books are actually scripture and God inspired? And then they try to answer that question. What are some of the questions that we might be asking today? Well, we already deal with one of them. What exactly is going to happen to me in 10 years' time? Some of us are not that far-sighted. We just want to, get whatever new phone model for the next year. Some of us will realize that the world is in a crisis. What if we go to war in 2 weeks' time? Would I enlist? Would you join the army to fight? Or would you try to run away so that you won't have to join the army? I don't know. Maybe you dig a hole in your backyard and build a bomb shelter. Okay, yeah, or maybe you just say, whatever, I'll just die when the bomb hits. Okay, all this, are ways we look at the world. Well, keep this in mind. What exactly is the problem of the world? What exactly is our problem? The book of Romans gives us a new view that all the problems of this world, all our personal problems, all the problems of this society is very often not as we think. It is not because we don't have enough money. It's not because wealth is not distributed evenly. It is not because we simply want the newest things. The main problem of this world is actually not environmental issues. All those are simply manifestations of another, more deep-seated problem that we all have. And that problem is outlined in Romans as, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All bad situation, all adversity has its root in this particular foundation, that people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Think about that. That is a call for us to face this problem head on. This is our problem. What are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with it? While the church is very often reactionary in this particular manner, when the church looked at the world, we said, the world has lost its moral compass. There are so many things that is wrong in this world. How come people are so immoral? How come people are so unfair? How come people are so greedy? How come people are so self-centered? The world has lost its moral compass. And what then is the role of the church? Very often we will say, well, The church is here to bring moral clarity back into the world, back into the society. So we stand up in a soapbox and point fingers and say, you have done this, you have done that, you have done something that is awful, and that's why you bring all these problems to the humankind. Well, that's partially true, because if we want to stand up and point fingers, it's quite easy for us to find something wrong with people. Because, as the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that is only part of the problem. If we are fundamentally immoral, if we are fundamentally sinful, then who are we to stand up here and point fingers? Maybe what we have to deal with and say, since everybody is somehow immoral, we have to take on the responsibility and say, this is my problem. This is what I have to deal with. And Paul mentioned, and Paul outlines, there is the necessity of the law and the commandments of Israel. Because through that mirror, we can see our corrupted self. If we are being honest, then as we read the scripture, as we read the first chapter of Romans, Paul was there already listing out a whole checklist of sin. And there are several lists like that in the scripture. And as we look at that, it sounds like such an accusation that none of us can escape from its mention. Then we have to ask ourselves, what kind of problems do I have? Well, we can blame other people for our sinful nature. It's because of Adam and Eve that I get into this mess. So one of these days in heaven, afterlife, if I see Adam and Eve, I'm going to hold them responsible and maybe beat them up or something. Well, some of us say it is all the fault of the devil. And so we say, well, it's not my fault. I'm only this way because the devil caused me to sin. My evil nature, put in us by temptation, caused me to sin. Well, what can I do about it? Well, we lay blame on the devil, which is partially true, but essentially the one who commits the sin is through our own free will. We walk away from God. Through our own free will, we take on all kinds of corruption. Through our own free will, we build this self-centered nature and lifestyle. And there is no reason for any of us to be self-righteous. Because when we are being self-righteous and point fingers, we're actually saying that this is not my problem. This is your problem. But in order for us to deal with our life, the first thing we have to accept is that being sinful, bringing on all kinds of adversity, bringing in all kinds of bad fortune, is because of my fault, my own fault, and my own grievous fault. And for the Catholic Church, this is the statement, this is the formula of a confession. I take on the responsibility of my own actions, my fault, my own fault, my own grievous fault. And for that, we declare to the world that I am now taking on the responsibility. This is my problem, and the way I treat this problem is how I respond to it. And how I understand the whole nature of my problem. And what is the problem of sin? What is its scope? What is the consequence? Many years ago, our church have used this tool called the Roman roll. Some of you might know it. It will try to focus and edit and concentrate the whole gospel message into three verses, all from the book of Romans. We just read one of them. Roman roll, the first verse to remember is chapter 3, verse 23. And it says, well, for all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. The second step is actually another verse, chapter 6, verse 23. And the wages of sin is death. That is my problem. We are facing the consequences of sin as it outlined it in the scripture, and it is because we are going to die because of it. All of us. None of us can escape that. So what are you going to do? All religion, all myths always deal with this problem, this issue of death. As I mentioned during the Easter Sunday service, how are we going to deal with this issue? It impacts everything that we do. It impacts our moods in every way. Well, the world has these issues, all this crisis. How would that affect me? Not only because it will cost you more money, that's a very self-centered way of thinking. We say that the world's problem might cause me to die. If there's a war in the Middle East, the battlefield might move to North America and we die. If you're not careful when you go out, when you mix with the wrong crowd, if you're not careful when you drive, what's going to happen? You die. If you don't take care of your health, if you eat all the wrong food, snack every day, oh, give me the biggest bag of chips while I watch TV with a bucket of fried chicken, what's going to happen? You die. Yes, it's true. Everything that we do can lead to our death. We cannot count on having a tomorrow. The next moment is always a gift from God. And as we keep taking this gift, we say thank you, but one of this day, we know our days will end, and we die. So how are we going to deal with that? We're going to talk about that next week. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. As part of the human race, part of God's creation, we realize that our days are limited. And as we live this life, we also face the termination, the end of it. And sometimes learning how to die well is the greatest lesson we have to learn in this life. And religion, philosophy, faith always try to deal with this particular issue, the issue of mortality. So let us come before the scripture and see what God offers as the solution. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.